learned last month that an American who was allegedly fighting for ISIS in Syria surrendered to U.S. forces and was turned over to the U.S. military. While details about the situation are hazy, we do know that the individual is being detained as a so-called enemy combatant, a term that has resurfaced after being more or less phased out during the Obama years.
The enemy combatant designation was originally used to detain suspected terrorists at length and without charges, much like what we saw in the early 2000s at Guantanamo Bay, America's detention center in Cuba. Our next guest is worried about the return of that designation and maybe an increase in the use of Guantanamo Bay. She says that represents some of the worst parts of America's war on terror.
Karen Greenberg joins us now. She's the director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School. She's also the author of the book, The Least Worst Place, Guantanamo's First 100 Days and Rogue Justice, The Making of the Security State. Karen, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, during the Obama administration, it seemed like the days were numbered for Gitmo. And now in your recent piece, you write that it seems as if that detention facility will have a far longer life than you imagined. What do you think has changed for Guantanamo Bay under the Trump White House?
Well, what's changed, it's changed completely in terms of the attitude coming out of the executive, out of the White House. Obama, President Obama made it clear on his first day in office that he wanted to close it. Not unlike George Bush, who wanted to close it at the end of his presidency. But Trump has made no bones about it, and neither has the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. They would like to keep Guantanamo open, and they would like to add more individuals to it. And at one point, even mentioned that they might put an American there, or Americans there, which, of course, is not allowed or authorized under current policy. So there's a lot to worry about the future of Guantanamo. And if it had been closed, as Obama had wanted to do, it would be much harder to get something like this started again.
I'd like to play a clip from early 2016. Here's then-candidate Donald Trump talking about his future plans for Guantanamo Bay.
This morning I watched President Obama talking about Gitmo, right? Guantanamo Bay, which, by the way, we are keeping open. Which we are keeping open. And we're going to load it up with some bad dudes, believe me. We're going to load it up.
So listening to that clip and knowing what we know about the state of things now, which is to say we don't know a lot so far, but have you seen President Trump moving in that direction, following through on what he said in that clip we just heard?
You know, we do know some things. We know that there's an extra large amount of money that has been appropriated for Guantanamo Bay at a time when there were only 41 detainees there, and the detainees who are standing trial for things like the 9/11 attack. So it is a very small population compared to the total amount of people that went through there, which was 800. So the idea that it needs more funding is somewhat problematic and worrisome. We've also seen that there was a specific position created actually in the first Bush years and again throughout the Obama years, which is a position of a special envoy or ambassador for transferring those individuals who were cleared for release by a panel of reviewers to leave Guantanamo. And this is by periodic review board. It means that individuals' cases can come up time and time again, and then the panel decides, can they be released without being considered dangerous anymore? And so when you think about it, more than 700 people have been released one way or another from Guantanamo Bay. And these envoys or ambassadors are the individuals that are charged with making transfer arrangements, which countries will they go to, under what conditions, et cetera. That position was ended by President Trump last month. So we have seen signs. They're more negative measures than active measures. And also the use of the term enemy combatant is a very bad signal. While there may have been an understanding that there were individuals that could be held in military custody during the Obama administration, the other side of that understanding was that they would be questioned and then turned over to law enforcement and then tried through the federal court system. We don't have that understanding now, and the Attorney General and the President have given us signs to worry about it. There's no reason they can't tell us or shouldn't tell us the name, at least, of this individual.
We're talking to Karen Greenberg right now, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School. She's also the author of The Least Worst Place, Guantanamo's First 100 Days. And Karen, let's talk a little bit more about the term enemy combatant. What does that entail from a legal perspective?
Well, there are lawful combatants and then there are unlawful combatants. And the term enemy combatant was originally used by the Bush administration to separate out individuals that were captured in the war on terror, whether it was in Afghanistan or on the larger global battlefield, and exempt them from certain conditions that would protect prisoners of war initially. And that's how you got this term detainee rather than prisoner. It's how you got the term enemy combatant. In the old days, we had in the beginning years of the Bush administration, there were enemy combatants on American soil as well as enemy combatants abroad. The ones on American soil were kept in military detention, but even then they were eventually turned over to the federal court system. So I feel like this term is an intentional poke in the eye. Like, we're going to go back to the, you know, we're going to reinstitute these things that, you know, people who were more civil liberties minded didn't want. And this is just a red flag. I think it's an intentional provocation. This is a provocative president. And so I think it's time to pay attention and to pay attention very carefully to what else may be going on. You know, there's been a lot of talk about what will happen if we capture somebody. Will we bring them into the federal court system? And that's what people are wondering about this particular American enemy combatant that has been detained somewhere abroad. But we have yet to see the Trump administration detain an individual in American custody and then put them through the court system. We have seen cases which were initiated by the Obama administration that eventually ended up bringing individuals to this country. But in terms of, you know, new territory and new individuals, we really don't know the answer to that question, although many people have tried to make, you know, one or two transfers to this country look like a sign of hope. I don't see that sign.
I want to take a caller on this. We have Charlie on the line from Milwaukee. Charlie, hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is for the people that are fighting the United States in this war on terror, do they deserve the U.S. constitutional rights if they are never in the United States? And conversely, what if someone does come to the United States explicitly to promote terror within the United States? Are they also afforded constitutional rights, even though they have came?
And we lost you there, Charlie. But Karen, what do you think?
It's a really good question, and it goes to the exact heart of this controversy and this debate. The short answer is that if you're an American citizen or you are detained on U.S. soil, we have eventually, in some cases, but the country has provided the protections of the U.S. Constitution. It's not such a bad thing. It's not like these people they go to trial and that they are acquitted. They are brought to trial. They are tried. Evidence is brought up, and the evidence in these cases has proven dispositive, and they've been convicted. But that's the country that we are. It's a whole other story about what we're going to do with foreigners from abroad that try harm against us or who succeed in harming us, as happened in attacks in the 1990s abroad and has happened since then. So the answer to that question is that prior to 9/11, we always brought those individuals to the United States. We tried them, convicted them for the most part, put them in Colorado, convicted them always, put them in Colorado in the Supermax. Now that's what's up for grabs. And I think that I'd be surprised to see, although it could happen, if individuals of foreigners who have never been to this country, who are not U.S. citizens, who are detained in the war on terror abroad, are brought into the federal court system. I would be very surprised. I happen to think the federal court system is a very good way to handle this. And the reason I say that is that look at the military commissions. The military commissions have been in existence, the current ones, since 2009. When the Obama administration passed yet another new Military Commissions Act, providing, you know, different kinds of rules and regulations for the military commissions. Before those military commissions, which are housed at Guantanamo Bay and which will try some of the more high-value detainees at Guantanamo Bay, including, most importantly, those accused of being the co-conspirators in the 9/11 attacks. Look what happens when you take them out of the federal court system. They don't get tried. Don't get tried at all. Those guys are still there. And, you know, they say that the military commissions now says that they think that the 9/11 trial may begin in January of 2019. I'm sorry. It's unacceptable. One of the points of trial, in addition to bringing justice to the perpetrators, is to enable the victims to heal and to have closure. And we haven't done that for the victims of 9/11, which you could argue involved not just the families of those who were killed, and the friends of those who were killed, but the country at large. So it's not as if we have a lot of options. And it's always worked to bring them through the federal court system, and it seems like a viable option.
Karen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School. She's also the author of the book, The Least Worst Place, Guantanamo's First 100 Days.